Welcome to the A-Dub Club, a podcast about sci-fi, fantasy, technology, pop culture, the internet, and general nerdery. There are three things that are important to know. One, we occasionally use swear words, but try to stay in the range of PG-13, or at least the kind of our cool parents are fine with. Two, we may talk spoilers. In this particular episode, we discuss the films Groundhog Day, Edge of Tomorrow, Palm Springs, and Happy Death Day, so be warned. And finally, three, most importantly, apparently, Groundhog Day originally did not feature groundhogs, but rather badgers. With that out of the way, welcome to the clubhouse. We have snacks. Welcome to the A-Dub Club. I'm Andrew Whipple.
And I'm Alex Wade.
How are you doing this lovely January day, Alex Wade?
I'm good. It's cold. It just started snowing outside my window, like right now, and I don't like it. I do not like that.
Yeah, it snowed last night, and I was planning on going on a Trader Joe's run this morning, and then I went outside and saw that there was like 4 inches of snow and thought, you know what I'm going to do? Not that.
It's good. Yeah. I also just got invited to a wedding that's in a ski resort. I don't know if there's going to be skiing component to it, but I hope so.
That's fun. That's exciting. Yeah. Destination wedding.
Yeah. I think this is my first. Have I been to a wedding? I've been to one wedding before. I'm not a wedding person. I guess people just don't invite me to the weddings. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of friends, at least. There's a few of family members, but then I think I've only gone to two friend weddings, one of which is where I reconnected with my current girlfriend. But we're not here to talk about weddings necessarily. We actually might be here to talk about weddings,
actually,
now that I think about it. But what are we here to talk about, Alex Wade?
We're here to talk about time loops. Also, by the way, I did just get invited to a wedding in Utah. Yeah, it's a ski resort. Yeah.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only gone to a couple weddings of friends, but one happened to be the one where I reconnected with the person that I'm currently dating, which is pretty cool.
Oh, 10 out of 10. Good job.
10 out of 10.
But we're going to be talking about time loops and what makes a good time loop movie, but also a work of fiction, because there are some other, you know, there's a podcast we have listened to in the past called Adventure Zone that has a time loop in it. So what I asked the question, and now what's the answer?
What is the answer? I think what makes a good time loop movie is it being a good movie about a time loop.
Yes.
Final answer.
I'm sure I've said this before, but like all science fiction, while really cool, is best served by the story and the plot and the actual content of whatever is happening. Like, that's why I love science fiction, is because it asks what if questions and puts people in interesting scenarios. But if it's like a real story, then like that's what makes it a good story, you know?
I appreciate you taking my stupid bit entirely seriously and turning it into something that's actually very cogent and a good lead into the rest of this conversation. I think I totally agree with that. Time loop, it is the epitome, and in fact, maybe especially one of the movies we might talk about that we watched this week, sort of the perfect platonic ideal example of a high concept thing, where it's like, this is a big thing that like you have to think about, and it frames the whole rest of the story. And it's like, yeah, you got to buy into this in order to go through with the rest of it. Yeah. But if it's just, what if there was a time loop, then I don't know. Okay, fine. That's can be entertaining enough. I think there is enough inherent entertainment value in some of the shenanigans that one can get up to in a time loop. But I think the ones that, of all the ones that we watched this week, which I'll keep referencing until we eventually talk about which ones those are, I think they all are good examples of ones where it's like, fundamentally the movie itself is well made, and fundamentally the story itself has something to say outside of time loops are cool and fun as devices.
Yeah. 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 Which those four that we watched this week were the classic Groundhog's Day, the I assume the original. I don't know if there are previous time loop movies before Groundhog's Day.
That's a good question.
Edge of Tomorrow, which was also originally called Live, Die, Repeat before they rebranded it. Happy Death Day and Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm. And it was the first time that I ever saw Groundhog Day.
Crazy. Classic movie.
Earlier today. That was the last one that I watched.
especially the first one you watch, man. Come on.
I know. Well, you know, life comes at you fast. There was a short story called 1201 PM that had a 1990 film adaptation that allegedly involves a time loop. And so that does beat Groundhog Day by just a couple of years.
Interesting.
But, and a Star Trek Next Generation episode, Cause and Effect, that was 1 year before Groundhog Day.
Wait, when was that really? 93?
93. I felt the same. I fully thought it was an 80s movie, like my entire life. And then today was both Googling it after watching it and listening to a podcast on Ghostbusters 2, and they were talking about Groundhog Day because of Bill Murray. And they're like, 90s movie, 90s movie. It's like,
whew. That's weird. Yeah. Yeah. Also a good movie.
Also a good movie. I feel
all four of these movies, I really enjoyed.
Right. Me too. These are all good. I like them a lot.
They did it real. I also saw Boss Level, the inception of the idea to have this podcast episode was because I saw Boss Level on a plane, and it was okay. It was like a, I don't know, trashy action movie, but usually I feel like they do these pretty well.
Yeah.
And they ask a lot of the same questions as well, which is interesting. I feel like with the exception of Live, Die, Repeat, I feel like there's a lot of, loneliness in these movies. There's a lot of like, this is people's own version of hell in some capacity. Even in like the rom-com of Palm Springs, they're like, oh yeah, I've tried killing myself so many times. Nothing works. Mm-hmm. We're here for eternity and I've just accepted it. Or Groundhog's Day, where also kills himself a lot of time. Does she kill herself in Happy Death Day?
She definitely does in the sequel. I'm trying to remember if she does in the first one or not. Oh, yes. No, she absolutely does once. There's the one key – spoilers for Happy Death Day, I guess.
Oh.
The one key one towards the end where she realizes, oh, shit, if I don't die, that means that the person I've fallen in love with who just got murdered will be dead forever.
Yes. Yes.
And she gruesomely hangs herself off a clock tower.
Yeah, but the reason why she did that, well, yeah, also that scene, I was like, oh my God, like the drop was rough. No, she killed herself, but not for the sake of despair. Oh my God, my life is awful because I'm alone in this world, in this day, over and over again. It was because she wanted to save her lover. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no, which actually interesting because that one, that makes sense, I guess, in the context of the mechanic. But getting back to what you were saying more broadly around the despair aspect of it, it does seem like almost all – I think all of these, again, maybe Edge of Tomorrow being the one counterexample if I need to think through and remember, do involve some element of the thing that makes sense when you first hear about the, like, I can live the same day over and over again, and therefore that means no consequences. Is there some element of – great, let's live out the good parts of it. Let's live out the fact that I can do whatever I want and I can go on a hedonistic spree. And then at some point it's like, oh shit, I am living the same day over and over and over again. That sucks.
Yeah. I want to go into that on the idea of consequences. And like, first off, there was a moment where Andy Samberg in Palm Springs, how he had talked about like, oh, the things you do to other people, like they do matter because you have to remember them. There was that aspect of it. And there's also an aspect which I'm not sure the answer to this and how I feel about it, but like you're manipulating other people to like, you know, sleep with them or – right? Is that – like I don't know how morally – ethical that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you're using other people in a way that is duplicitous and manipulative, but also at the end of the day they do forget and like I don't know.
Yeah, it's a big like, where does morality come from? Is morality a thing that's inherent to the universe versus is morality something that is dependent on the result that it has on other people versus his take of like morality is I feel bad if I do this, therefore I don't want to do this.
Sure.
And how does that come back to, oh, I guess briefest of synopses of these four movies that we watched. Groundhog Day, you know it. It's Groundhog Day. I didn't see it for my entire life, but even I knew what Groundhog Day was about. But Weatherman, who gets stuck in a time loop and then falls in love with and attempts to pursue via, or attempts to become a better person and also pursue his producing partner.
Yeah. And like that one specifically kind of got me, because first off, classic kind of 90s, not rapey vibes, but like kind of manipulative and, you know, I guess maybe, yeah, rapey vibes, because he's trying to manipulate this woman into sleeping with him.
Well, a thing that didn't click to me, partially because I hadn't seen Groundhog Day until just now, but until you were just talking about that in Palm Springs, movie from 2019, 2020. That's Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti are at a wedding in Palm Springs, and Andy Samberg gets stuck in a time loop for a long time, presumably. We joined him partway through that loop, and then he gets Kristen Milioti, another guest at this wedding, into the loop as well, and then they are continually reliving the day of this wedding of her sister, his girlfriend's friend, and then rom-com through it. Palm Springs, to some degree, is the, or it starts out being Groundhog Day, especially with the reveal later on that he has dozens, hundreds, thousands maybe of times slept with the Kristen Milioti character.
Yeah, prior and he straight up lied about it.
And he lied about it. And presumably the way that he did it was basically doing the Groundhog Day thing that Bill Murray does to both Andie MacDowell and to whoever's the other people that he slept with beforehand. I forget her, Nancy, I think. And then what happens is, okay, now you have to actually be in the time loop with her. And now let's interrogate that a little bit more and show how, like, she clearly feels really bad about that, understandably, I think. Well, yeah, especially now that she knows about it.
No, though. It's specifically, she doesn't feel bad about the fact that they slept together. It's about the fact that he lied about it.
Okay.
Like, if he had come clean at the very beginning and had been like, yeah, we've slept together a lot, you know, like, I feel what the movie's trying to say is, like, that would have been fine.
Yeah, that's true, because it's the them falling in love with each other and then finally deciding to sleep with each other, and it's predicated to some degree on the fact that he lied about it earlier.
Yeah, Palm Springs was so good. Like, it was really – that was – thing that I really liked about Palm Springs from the get-go is, like, it's right into it. It's like, yeah, we're in a time loop and I'm already doing these silly things, you know? And, like, Groundhog's Day, it's still that – you know, start of that, which is great because that's like one of the first movies that did this, or if not the first movie that did this, right?
And certainly the one that popularized it.
Exactly. Yeah. So like it would have made sense in that one to like start from the get-go being like halfway through the story about he's in a time loop, right?
I think it's very fair to say that all three of these, I think especially Palm Springs and Happy Death Day, are like in direct conversation with Groundhog Day.
Absolutely. I feel like Palm Springs a lot more so than Happy Death Day, but
Death Day, which I guess to give the brief overview for that, is what if Groundhog Day, but a slasher movie in that it's about this college girl, Tree, who is a terrible person and then gets murdered at the end of her birthday. And then once she gets murdered, then wakes up that morning and has to keep reliving that over and over again. And has to figure out who is the person who is killing her and try and prevent that. So kind of, I mean, unsurprising that I love that movie so much, but it's like Scream, the whole slasher plus whodunit, adding in the Groundhog Day element and a little bit more explicitly comedic than at least Scream.
Yeah, there was definitely some cheesiness to that movie.
Oh, 100%.
That like... Also, I hate horror movies of any kind, anything possibly related to that. And like, this was fine. It was kind of silly, frankly.
Hell yeah, that rocks. Yeah. Oh, I guess also, Alex knows this, but Happy Death Day, one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah. One of my favorite movies of the last 10 years. It's incredible. I love it. Unsurprisingly, Scream is my favorite movie. So this being a movie that feels a lot like Scream then adds in Groundhog Day to it, it's like, yeah, of course it's cool. I think it's PG-13. Is it PG-13 or R? I'm going to look that up.
I mean, it should be R, in my opinion. Like, there was a very gruesome suicide.
Yeah. That's true. That probably.
Like, body rattling, PG-13. Still image, like
with the PG-13.
Wow. Yeah, that image is like still in my head. I was like, I audibly was like, Jesus, when that happened.
Right. Oh, it rocks. But yeah, no, I think I agree with you in that, like, Palm Springs very much takes the Groundhog Day. Right. Happy Death Day uses the basic Groundhog Day setup to then tell a slasher whodunit story. I think the one element that Happy Death Day does lean into a little bit more than Palm Springs, I think, is the main character is terrible. They're just like an awful person, and then learns to be good over the course of dying repeatedly. In a way that Palm Springs, especially since we're joining Andy Samberg in media res after he's already done however many thousands of loops, has less of the, oh, you're a terrible person, let's learn. He still does grow over the course of it.
Yeah.
As does Kristen Milioti's character, but it's less of a stark, like, the point of you going through this is to help you become a better person to some degree.
I feel like he's explicitly dealing with the idea of what it means to be in a time loop, if that makes sense. Like, he's if you had questions of in Groundhog's Day around, like, is life meaningless now? Things he explicitly, like, devolves into. He literally has a full line that's like, the Twix that's in my stomach right now, it's gone. It doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is the next bite. Because that's, like, how he's resigned himself to his existence, his, like, not hell. It's not hell if he doesn't think of it as hell, I think, is his frame of mind. You know?
Ooh, I like that.
Stockholm Syndrome. If you're not a prisoner, you can't be a prisoner if you say that you want to be there, sort of thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I am thinking of now Palm Springs, especially now that I've seen Groundhog Day, as sort of taking the stuff that Groundhog Day, understandably, given that it's the first one, sort of mines a lot of the time loop concept for those sort of first thoughts that you would have based on it around, like, okay, what if you lived your life with no consequences? What if you got really sad and killed yourself? What if you discovered that fulfillment came from helping other people and from caring about and paying attention to the people that you love? Great.
Yeah.
And then Palm Springs, like, takes that as its baseline and then goes a step further on most of those questions and discovering new questions around the, like, the philosophical nature of existence and of commitment to other people.
Yeah. Yeah. What I really want to see, maybe I should say this for later in the podcast, but I'll start now because that's what I'm doing, is I want to hear the answers to the question, like, what happens to these people after they leave the time loop?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Or what would happen if, like, this – what I want to see a movie is where the entire world is in a time loop.
Ooh.
Like, how would society change and exist and, like – I don't know, you know?
Yeah. So to your first point about the, like, what happens after, that does hit on something about the time loop, is especially for a 90-minute to 2-hour movie, it's kind of just like a perfect structure that's, like, wild that part of it, I guess, is just that Groundhog Day is really great and nails this. But I think some of it's inherent to the time loop itself of, like, okay, you either the character is discovering that they're in a loop, and that sort of builds in, you have a built-in first act of, hey, I'm going to go about a normal day. And then I'm going to repeat that day. And so you have a built-in inciting incident. And then you go through those first two loops, and now you have your first act done. And then you have a whole, here's the rest of the story that happens in the middle over all those loops. And then you have a built-in climax and resolution, which is you leave the loop. Usually you leave the loop because of some personal discovery that the loop helped you work your way through that is thematically relevant. And it's like, in that world, it totally makes sense for the, it does not surprise me that all four of these movies basically end on, they break the loop, they have that first morning that is different from what their previous ones that they all saw were, and then cut to credits and yay, happy, happy. In the case of Happy Death Day, there is a sequel. I think Edge of Tomorrow was supposed to theoretically have a sequel.
It's been in production. I Googled it. It's been in production for, like, years.
But yeah, I think it makes sense in the context of that first movie that it's like, yes, this is a perfect little clockwork structure that you have to work with. But I agree with you of, like, okay,
Yeah.
Yeah. What are they like now? What are their next days? What are,
and like,
how do they move Andy, forward?
There's a moment in Palm Springs when her name was Sarah. So she was the girl mm-hmm. who, I don't know the name of the actress, but, where she had like thrown him like, oh, happy millionth birthday or something, which like she has no idea. But also he goes in there and there's a moment when he's like, I'm not that old. Am I?
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe he is. Like,
right.
That's the thing about time and memory. Like he forgot what his job was. Like that's how long he had been in this day. And that's that if you can't remember, then he had to have been in there for a damn long time.
Right. Yeah. allegedly, per the script, I mean, it's not something that's actually explicitly said in the movie at any point, but per like one of the screenwriters, it's like, yeah, we like to think of him as being in there for at least 40 years, which,
yeah,
nuts. Yeah. That is one thing that I'm also now realizing, I think Happy Death Day is the only one of those three that doesn't feature a like giant skip forward in you've done this a million times. I think we basically see at least a bit of every one of Tree is the name of the main character in Happy Death Day. I think we see all of her loops.
Yes.
Which one that sort of montages through like six or seven of those.
Yeah. That's funny you say that because so specific, I feel watching Happy Death Day as someone who doesn't watch a lot of slasher horror movies at all. Right. I could see certain themes of like, oh, this is definitely like a classic slasher thing that's happening right now. Right.
Yeah.
And
like what?
Like there was going down the hallway and the way how the camera started tilting in like a spiral as she's running away to try to get into the bell tower at that scene.
Yeah.
Or classic knife, you know, like just the concept of the knife and it being bloody and that generally. Or like, oh, when he killed the guy who he was like she was going to fuck, but like the music was too loud so she couldn't hear it. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. But – there's another thing of like, oh, what is the time loop movies tropes sort of thing, right? And it is becoming better becoming better as a human being is a common theme. Even in Edge of Tomorrow, like he goes from like a smarmy lawyer who he becomes a better person. I think
Tomorrow's premise or mini synopsis.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something we haven't done. Aliens invaded and we're partway through a disastrous invasion of the entire world. Tom Cruise is a smarmy PR guy who gets sent to the front lines and then is like, I'm not a real soldier. No. And then tries to blackmail a general and then ends up getting like fully shanghaied into it and then goes through his first day, is about to die, kills one of the aliens, which lets him magically reset the day over and over again. And then he, becomes a super soldier after discovering another super soldier who had this happen at one point in the past and then lost her ability to relive the day. And they team up in order to try and save the world from aliens.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was, I just want to bring up in that movie, there was one really sad scene. Well, there's a lot of sad scenes because it's an action movie with people dying. But like one sad thing of like they're driving to a house before the helicopter is there and he starts talking to her and he's like, you know, you talk to me eventually. And he asks a question or he doesn't ask a question. He says like, I know that your middle name is Peyton or is Sarah or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that's not my middle name. You can tell that he's done this again and again. He asks a different or he pretends to know something about her every time. And then says the thing, and then later on, like 10 minutes later in the scene, she dies, but the last thing that she says before she dies there is like, here's my middle name, right? It's like that's how he's
I never clocked that. Oh my god.
That's how he's kind of manipulating her into, you know, revealing things about herself. Yeah, and that was also a theme throughout the movie of like getting to know someone through this time loop, right? Mm-hmm. And he falls in love with her throughout the course of the time loop, even though she is continually saying like don't get to know me, like it'll hurt because she dies every single time.
Yeah.
And like she went through that as well with someone and they died every single time. And she's like, just it's better to be distant with me. But he doesn't listen and he doesn't do that, obviously, because he's a man and she's Emily Blunt. And anyway, yeah.
Yeah, Emily Blunt rocks in that movie.
Oh, my God. She's so good.
As is Tom Cruise. But yeah.
Yeah,
Edge of Tomorrow rules.
Yeah, these are all great movies.
All great movies. I really like them. Yeah, it is interesting and I suppose unsurprising given the conceit and the structure of the time loop and of the repeating things over and over and over again. But all four of them feature that same trajectory of the protagonist falls in love with someone over the course of repeating all the days. Palm Springs tweaks it a little bit in that they're in the time loop together as opposed to in Happy Death Day, Edge of Tomorrow, and Groundhog Day. Its protagonist is in the time loop. Other person is still outside. But yeah, I guess there's something to be said about that. Like, yeah, you spend a lot of time with someone and you learn more about them and you fall in love.
That is what I meant to mention before of the tropes that I saw of the horror movie, but the tropes that I saw of time loop movies in Happy Death Day, it was kind of weird to see her become a better person when she only had like maybe 10 or 15 total loops. Mm-hmm. Maybe a bit more than that, but like over the course of like maybe a month, maybe 2 months, you know, at most. And for some reason she becomes a better person because
I mean, being brutally murdered by someone is going to be a shock to the system. But yeah, no, I agree. I think it follows the same movie timeline as all these other movies in that like she gets better at the same points in the running time of the movie Happy Death Day as your Tom Cruise's, your Bill Murray, your Andy Samberg's, etc. And Kristen Milioti, because she's also kind of a bad person. But yeah, it's in her case happening over the course of like 15 loops as opposed to happening over the course of 40 years of.
Yeah. And like that's also, I love that as well of these time loop movies of like the concept of becoming insanely good at things and like spending this time getting better, not just like as like a morally better person, but also as like in Bill Murray gets amazingly good at piano.
Which, if I want to be pedantic, would you get good at something that has like muscle and like coordination things versus getting good at just mental things? Like I thought that about the piano specifically, where I was, and the ice carving in Groundhog Day, where I was like, well, but if your brain gets smarter, but your hands aren't yet, question mark.
That's interesting.
Also, that's so wildly not the point of the film.
No, certainly not. But still, yeah. Technical.
Even Edge of Tomorrow, for that matter, I guess. Because it's like, I mean, it helps that Tom Cruise is like cut from the beginning because he's Tom Cruise. But.
Well, yeah. But at the beginning, they were like, oh, he's a schmeeb who can't do shit.
Yeah. No, these all rule. What makes a good time loop movie?
What makes a good time loop movie?
I would add, though, yes, that like, again, for the tropes of it, of like, it's such a fun trope, the someone getting really, really good at a thing because they've practiced it for 1,000 years is very fun, which I guess Happy Death Day doesn't really have that.
Yeah, it has her like memorizing things of like, here's the car horn, here's the guy falling down, here's this and that, right?
Right. That's one thing that does a good time loop movie has to have there's like the 7 to 15 noticeable things that you see on the first time that you run through that then you repeat with slight tweaks on those other loops.
Which I think Happy Death Day was incredible. A bit in your face. Okay. Like
it rocks. It's great.
I enjoyed Happy Death Day, but I have some criticisms of it. Like there were the first time you went through the day, it was slow. It wasn't slow. It was like, oh, we're showing you the things that are going to be repeated. Like,
damn right.
Is how I felt when I saw it. And it was a bit.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a bit like, okay, like since I know what the conceit of the movie is, like, okay, sure. But also, I think Palm Springs, I don't know if you knew it was a time loop movie before they went into the cave for that first time.
That's true. Yeah. Not all of these have a plausible read of the first loop where you could like none of them tilt their hand that it's a time loop thing until the first loop happens. But I do think that like,
watching,
to your point, Happy Death Day is the one, is of the four of them, the one that is the most like, okay, you're pointing out a lot of weird things going on and just sort of noting them. Great. Cool. Whereas Palm Springs, I think,
that was great. Like also have like being there for the ride with that actress name, who I can't, what is her name again? You said like three or four times now.
Kristen Milioti.
Kristen Milioti. Yeah. Where her
mother.
Yeah. And How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. No, she, when we're like there with her, when he's doing, he's like dancing when they first meet each other in the first, in what we know now is not the first loop, but what we think is the first loop, right? Is like, oh, he's doing the weird dancing things and is like clearly on to something somehow and is like unique. It's like, how does he do these things? It's like, oh, okay, it's time loop. Cool.
Yeah. That was a fun thing on rewatching it because I'd seen it, whatever, during the pandemic when it first came out, but rewatching it in that first loop, I was like questioning as we were going through, wait, is this his first loop? Is this not? And it was the dancing part was the one that sort of gave it away to me, to like, this must be that he's been in the loop for a while and we're joining him in partway through.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was, it was cool.
Yeah. 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 Damn.
I want to see a movie that is society. Like, what if instead Andy had dragged as many people as possible into the cave?
Ooh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because you mentioned that before, a whole world time loop movie. Say more about.
Yeah. Well, so that's something, that's something about, first off, about Palm Springs is like, that's the only movie that has a time loop that, well, that has a time loop with other people in the time loop with you, for one thing. Edge of Tomorrow, there is other people who know about its existence first. So it's like he's still alone in the time loop, but like he has people to talk to for the most part. But I think that sense of being alone is really kind of a huge part of time loops in general. Of just like, you have no one to talk to, and kind of existence feels kind of meaningless because everyone feels like they're just drones who are. I feel like I would lose my mind in the sense of the concept of free will feels no longer like it exists.
Because
everyone's just dominoes you're pushing down anymore. But no, whole world time loop. Like, I think that would be a very interesting concept of like, how would society develop from there? Like, people restart the day. There's going to be people in airplanes. There's going to be people who are terminally ill. There's going to be people on their wedding days, and then society will just have to reset every day. Like, what, things become meaningless, but like, you still have relationships, but just not things like scarcity anymore, or like, what, you know?
Wow. Yeah. Cause I guess at some point it gets to the only thing that is true. It's, you always start back to wherever the day started, and you can, in theory, if everyone else is remembering, still have a life that progresses from day to day. It's just that, you know, you will always wake up in this place, and you know that, like you said, scarcity wise, like however much food there was, how much coal to burn, etc., will always be reset.
That would be very interesting of like people from the, so like the first time it happens, and it would be interesting to see that, to the like, oh, we're in year 200 now since the time loop happens, right?
It'd be interesting to see like what sort of societal things would be able to worm their way into continuation, because I'm thinking about like, okay, you would wake up with the same amount of money that you had, but also if money at the end of the day is an agreement between banks to say you have this much money, could they not theoretically just be like, we're all like, tangible, like, things that would be left, like, would be reset. But like, if people just agree to say, actually, no,
money doesn't matter
money
anymore.
And you spent yours. Basically my way of saying, like, I'm sure that there's a way for capitalism to fuck that up somehow and make it miserable. And,
That's where you're going with this. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking the opposite of like, oh, all homeless people now immediately doesn't matter anymore. They have homes and they don't gotta, like, scarcity wouldn't exist anymore, right? Like,
I think real scarcity wouldn't exist, or scarcity of materials wouldn't exist.
Scarcity
of things that, like, yeah. Interesting. I will say, it's the stuff that I was just talking about around, like, how is the global banking industry going to figure out a way to still fuck things over in
the future?
It certainly would be like, that would be the kind of thing that is interesting for the 8-episode HBO series about people trapped for 200 years in a time loop. That would not be something that would be a key plot point of the movie version, I don't think.
Yeah.
Not high on the priority list for the screenwriters.
Yeah. There would be competitions. In my imagination, time loop would start at like midnight or whatever, sometime, right? And if it was typical time loop rules of if you go to sleep or you die, right? Mm-hmm. So what about those people who, like, they try to stay awake for forever, right?
Palm Springs rules of, it reset for Andy Samberg when he went to sleep, and then she stayed up and kept trying to drive to Texas and then managed to make it through to another day and then still ended up waking up.
Exactly. Right. There's a lot of interesting questions. I feel like this would be a very cool kind of movie, but
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that is interesting to think about in counterpoint to time loop movies is the time loop is a really, really well-worn mechanic in video games. And I think in the video game context and potentially as well to the role-playing games, Adventure Zone RPG, that it builds in, or the puzzle aspects that are interesting and fun mechanics to the movie that sort of help move the plot along, especially in like Happy Death Day or Edge of Tomorrow, where there's some external threat that the time loop is helping you defeat. In the case of the video game, it's like, I feel like that's the thing that tends to go front and center is, great, this is a fun puzzle for you to solve, and here's a fun mechanic for you to be able to go around and the puzzle takes precedence over
the plot
and the emotional catharsis of the characters, in contrast to the movies where it's the catharsis is the thing and the puzzle is what might help you get to it.
Yeah.
Never played Majora's Mask though.
Me neither. I did a little bit, but tiny bit. But time loops. What would you do in a time loop?
What would I do in a time loop? I mean, probably go through the same general character arc as your Andy Samberg's and your Phil Connors. Yeah. Of like, start off being really weirded out. I have the benefit of having seen time loop movies before, so I probably would hopefully clock it a little bit sooner. Than at least your Phils do. Start out being like, okay, well, cool, this is fun, and we're gonna enjoy living life hedonistically. This is gonna sound incredibly fucking sappy, but I did just think about it and it made me a little bit emotional. Be really bummed about the fact that if it were to happen tomorrow, I'm currently several hours away from my girlfriend. And that would be a bummer for every morning to start with trying to get a quick flight to Philadelphia. That made me genuinely more emotional than I thought it was going to be. Anyway, and then eventually, probably get to a point of severe depression, and then eventually get to a point of some sort of measured level of acceptance, and then hope that something happens that becomes my way to gain catharsis, usually through a connection with someone else, in order to break me out of the loop.
Yeah, that's how it would break you out of the loop for sure. Yeah,
I certainly, a la your Andy Sambergs and your Dark, certainly would end up attempting to kill myself at least a few times.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I
but
I mean, the first time would be the hardest because you're like not sure if it would work.
Right.
But
That would have to be at a moment of severe darkness, or if I had already died once through natural or unnatural circumstances, but non self-inflicted circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd be hell. It'd be great. It'd be at first, it would be amazing. What I was like for Palm Springs, I would stay, if I knew there was a way out, then I think this would be the best thing ever.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
That would be insanely cool. I'd be able to perfect so many skills. It'd be fantastic.
That's true. Yeah. I think knowing that there's a way out, actually, because it's a similar thing with the, we did an episode. I don't remember what we said on it. I should have re-listened to it. We did the whole Would You Live Forever episode a million years ago. And I genuinely don't remember where we all both came down on it. But it's the same thing with like any of the, like, would you be a vampire? Would you be immortal and stuff like that? Of like, yeah, if you knew that there was no way out, then that would be very existentially depressing. If you knew that there was a way out, and especially ideally a way out to continuing your life beyond the time loop, as opposed to a way out being it's just done forever, then having it as a opportunity,
yeah,
I think relieves some of the mental pressure on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What sure. skills would you learn in your time loop? That would be top of the list, I guess.
I think I'd start with probably a musical instrument. I started up the piano a bit ago, and then I kind of fell off of it because I was like, I just got stressed about it. I just think a whole bunch of skills. I'd become a painter. I'd become a musician. Oh, also things like
languages,
that. Okay.
If I could come out with like three solid languages.
The problem with languages is like you'll forget them. Like there are things you have to continually, I feel my opinion of languages, like there are things you have to continually practice. And so I don't know if you would be gaining more languages, right? Like,
yeah, you can just space them out. Today's a French day. Tomorrow's an Italian day.
Okay. Yeah.
I think you can make it work.
Yeah. I wouldn't do languages. I've also always hated foreign language class. That's but true. I would also read a lot of classic books and literature and watch a lot of classic movies for the sake of like education, you know, and like art and experiencing it.
And hey, because you're never going to get a new one.
I'm never going to get a new.
There would be no new movies. There would only ever be old movies.
Oh my God. Oh, wow.
Which I mean, like there's enough movies now that you could go through many, many years of the loop to be fine and never have to repeat. But
Wow. I'd probably sleep with some people, even though I talked about questionable morality of doing that. I say that now, and you know, after years of loneliness, I'm sure that would be
probably. There's also totally kosher ways of doing it. Like if you can land it on the first try,
is that the rule? Is that like,
or I think that is fully kosher. Like there can be no argument that that's bad.
Absolutely. Yes.
Is it the only acceptable version? Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's hard.
Another thing to your earlier point around, hey, the sci-fi conceit of the thing should be there to serve the story as opposed to the other way around. And I think all four of these movies are really, really great examples of that.
Yeah.
Jumping back earlier to what I said about how the time loop movie is like a perfect structure. A thing that I was thinking is like, oh, it's kind of insane that there aren't just like five time loop movies every year because like it writes itself basically.
Yeah.
There aren't, or if there are, we forget about most of them and mostly are remembering these ones that do it really well. And I think a part of that, which I think I have a good idea about it for Palm Springs, Groundhog Day, and Happy Death Day, or at least plausible versions, is I do think the time loop itself ties into whatever is the core thematic thing that that movie is interested in exploring, especially in their main character.
Yeah.
I think Groundhog Day, by virtue of being the first one, it is, I think, fairly clearly about like, Phil is an asshole. Phil needs to learn to like other people. The time loop helps him do that.
Yeah.
Happy Death Day, I think it's she is overcome with grief from her mother's death. This gives her the chance to process that grief. To me is like, that's the real overriding thing. Secondarily is the whole like, she's an asshole. I think marriage is the big theme of Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Especially the like, you're committing to just being with this person. And there's that one line towards the end, right before they leave the loop, is the like, what if we get sick of each other is her big fear. And he's like, we're already sick of each other. It's great.
Yeah,
it's
the best. It was a great line.
It's like, okay, that's what this movie's about. I don't know what the time loop, what is the version of that for Edge of Tomorrow in terms of like what the time loop is.
I think part of it is taking that risk of getting to know someone, even though you see them and you know you're going to more likely than not see them die every day.
Ooh, okay.
And like that, the bit at the end where he, so there's at the end of Edge of Tomorrow, he gets like one fine, he like loses the ability because he gets a blood, because that's the conceit of it, of like, oh, you get someone else's blood, therefore you lose your superpower. But he accidentally gets the thing again when they go on a suicide mission to destroy the hive mind, which resets him back for a final time. And then, turns out Emily Blunt is still alive. So he gets to go and, you know, talk to the girl, right?
Yeah.
But him and I feel like he was learning to be a better person for sure. Like he didn't want to, you know, contribute to the war effort. He tried to blackmail a general and thought he was better than people because, you know, he's like, I do this so I don't have to do that. Is like straight up what he said, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. I like that. I like that idea of like, yeah, taking that leap into the unknown of connecting with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Timely movies, man. They're good.
They're damn good. I wish there were more.
Damn good.
Frankly.
I mean, I'm looking at this whole Wikipedia list of mostly movies I've never heard of.
Oh, but yeah, that's a problem.
I'm assuming most of them are. I'm assuming some of them are good and are hidden gems, and that some of them are bad, or most of them are bad.
Yeah.
And some of these also are like, okay, yes, Doctor Strange does technically feature a time loop, but it's not a time loop.
Yeah, that's not.
The Final Girls is one that is on this list that I have seen, and is good. Not as good as Happy Death Day, but a similar sort of. Or the premise is a kid whose mom, or a teenager whose mom died. Her mom was an actor in like a Friday the 13th type movie. And then they get sucked into, her and her friends get sucked into that movie, and then resets after everyone dies over and over and over again. And then similarly, oh, it's about grief and learning to deal with saying goodbye to your dead mom. A la Happy Death Day, but just not as good.
Yeah, that's fair. Closing thoughts, you think?
One closing thought is, you, especially since you were able to handle Happy Death Day, you absolutely should see Happy Death Day to You.
Yeah, I will.
Which is a sequel, because it's even less of a slasher movie. It's a, this is not a spoiler because it happens in the first like 5 to 10 minutes. Okay. It's a multiverse movie, and it's like, it's a sci-fi comedy more than it's a slasher comedy.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. That was one thing. After I saw it the first time, I was like, oh man, I think you would genuinely, genuinely love the sequel, but you'll have to get through the first one first. And so I'm very glad that we had an excuse to do this and that it was a one that was handleable. I forgot that Happy Death Day was PG-13. So if I remember that, then fine. I think that would have been fine. But
I also think I'm like, after watching this, I'm getting over just the generalness of my fear of the things. I need to go watch I Am Legend again, which was the first. Like, not, that's not a horror movie at all, but it was very scary for me and caused me nightmares for a week because I was or weeks because I was like 10 or 12 or something.
For sure.
But I think I just got to watch it and get over that and enjoy a new genre of film.
Hell yeah. So of the four that we watched, Happy Death Day is absolutely my favorite, because like as mentioned before, it's one of my like top 10 movies I've seen in the last 10 years or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think I would say, with the caveat that all of these movies rock and are really good, Happy Death Day 1, Palm Springs 2, Groundhog Day 3, Edge of Tomorrow 4.
Interesting.
And I don't, I think the Palm Springs Groundhog Day order of me liking Palm Springs more, I'm pretty sure is a, like, if I had seen Groundhog Day when I was like 12.
Yeah.
I think Groundhog Day is suffering from the fact that I've seen the movies that are riffing on it before I saw it itself.
Yes, absolutely.
Even though I still really liked Groundhog Day, that like, I like what Palm Springs does a little more, but that's because it's like, okay, yeah, I knew the story of Groundhog Day basically already going into it.
Yeah, I'd say Palm Springs 1, Edge of Tomorrow 2, Groundhog's Day 3, Happy Death Day 4. And that's fair. That's makes no sense. Indictment on Happy Death Day.
They are all good.
And like, I am a sucker for sci-fi action stuff in general, which is just what I love, seeing action movies and sci-fi shit. So like, that's why it's above Groundhog's Day.
Makes sense. No, they all rock. We weirdly haven't talked about Groundhog Day very much, but
yeah,
that's fine. It's Groundhog Day. I mean, is there anything to say on Groundhog Day other than Bill Murray is really good?
Yeah.
The supporting cast is really good. It's very funny. It's very sweet.
There's a suicide montage that is comedic. I don't know why that popped up my head. I really liked it. It's funny.
Yeah. Oh, I just realized I didn't actually add it to Letterboxd this morning. Let me do that.
Oh yeah. Also, there was a great callback in Palm Springs where Sarah, the character who's the actress who you've said 50 times right now,
Kristen Milioti.
I won't remember it still. Where she's like, oh, I know what this is. This is a karma thing. I have to go and do the karmically correct thing in order to get out of time, which is basically like, oh, Groundhog's Day. Like, that's what he had to do. He had to do the karmically correct thing. And this is a great moment when she like, oh, she does a thing. She wakes back up, immediately goes to Andy's character. It's like, nope, didn't work. Let's go drink. And it's like, yeah, cool. That's what I would do.
Yep. Yeah. It's the original. It's the OG. And it is nuts how good it is and how it's just like, oh yeah, this is just a very good movie that takes what at that point was sort of an original conceit and mines it for about as much as a 90-minute movie or 90-ish minute movie should with a great central performance. I don't love Andy McDowell in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Other person.
She's okay.
She's okay. I could think of a lot of people that would be better.
Yeah. And doesn't feel like it. She frankly should be a love interest of Bill Murray. Like, it just doesn't fit well together. But, you know.
Allegedly, Tom Hanks and Michael Keaton were both considered for the role before Bill Murray. Both of them, I think, would be really, really good. But it's hard to picture anyone other than Murray.
Yeah. It'd be a different movie. Yeah.
Yeah. The Tom Hanks one would probably be a little sweeter. The Michael Keaton one would probably be a little darker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else about time loop movies?
I don't think so.
What makes a good time loop movie?
The same things that make a normal good movie.
Yep, I would agree. I would also say use the time loop for something that is interesting and can't. Maybe that's a good way of putting it. You should not be able to remove the time loop. If you didn't have the time loop, you would not be able to answer the, like, central dramatic question of the movie, which I think is true for all of these.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, you should do some cool time loop shit, because if you're not going to do cool time loop shit, then what's the point?
Yeah. I could actually see these movies all as like without time loops, and they could exist. Except maybe Edge of Tomorrow. Well, I guess that'd just be some generic action sci-fi flick, frankly.
Yeah. If you want to relive this episode over and over and over again, you certainly can. That's what podcasts are. Just download it and listen to it one more time. But if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that via email at theawclub@gmail.com. That's theawclub@gmail.com. You can also tweet at us. We're at the AW Club. That's at theawclub. You can find this podcast wherever fine podcasts are found, whether that's Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. And you can go to our website, which is theadub.club. That's theadub.club. There you can find every episode we've ever done, as well as our topics guide, which is a list of all the different things that we have talked about, be they topics like time loops or time travel. Do we get to put this under the time travel list? I think yes, because you are technically traveling. You're just traveling back to the beginning.
I would say it's technically a time travel movie.
Okay, so if you click on time travel, you'll find this as well as our other time travel episodes, as well as if you click on things like Happy Death Day or Edge of Tomorrow or Groundhog Day. And you can also find our starter guide, which is a list of some episodes that we think are particularly good first ones to try out if this is your first episode listening and you want to see what else is up rather than going through and listening to 30-odd episodes. Because it's nuts that we've done 30-odd episodes. It's wild.
My God.
One of the longest-running projects that I've ever done. Cool. It's good. I like that. And I think with that, finally, we're done.
Ada Club out.
Ada Club out.
Or is it?
Ooh la la. So, a big update for you, Alex Wade, and for listeners of the podcast who have heard us discuss this over and over and over again. And every time that it's mentioned, you get frustrated and annoyed and mad yet again, yes. Because you've been telling me to do this for well over a decade. I finally started watching Avatar The Last Airbender last weekend with my girlfriend.
Thank you so much, girlfriend of Whipple.
Yes.
I know your name, but anyway.
Yeah. So for context for the rest of the listeners, beforehand, there was some Sturm und Drang around whether or not to start with Avatar The Last Airbender versus start with The Legend of Korra, with the vibe being, I think, generally probably start with Avatar, but from my girlfriend's perspective, well, I'll get to it. From my girlfriend's perspective, was like, maybe consider both and maybe even Korra, I think, because I will probably like Korra a little bit more. Spoilers. Yeah. However, Alex Wade had a vociferously different opinion, if you want to share that now.
Thank you so much, girlfriend of Whipple, for making him watch Avatar, but also you're wrong and you had to watch Avatar first because there's too many things in Korra that are just based directly off of the entire Avatar universe that you cannot conceive of. You'll be like, why the hell is this thing happening right now without knowing the context of Avatar The Last Airbender? Yes.
Which I think is fair. And so, yes, we did start with watching Avatar last weekend. I think we got 3 or 4 episodes in. And what I will say is that I deeply, deeply respect both you and my girlfriend. And therefore, because you both love this show so much, and also because it sounds like from both of you, Legend of Korra is a show that I will really, really like.
Yeah.
I am going to power through, despite the fact that so far I do not like Avatar.
Yeah.
These first couple of episodes.
Yeah, the first four, he's on the fourth episode. The first four are definitely children's show episodes. Mm-hmm. Especially the first two are very, like,
yes.
Very, very much so.
And to that point, the third one, I mean, that was my overall takeaway, was so we had gone from watching Kim Possible to watching Avatar, and I was finding myself feeling like, I want to go back to Kim Possible because that feels like more fun and I'm liking that more. Like, that was how kids should be. Avatar was feeling. Which, no knock against Kim Possible. Kim Possible genuinely rocks. It's the best.
Yeah.
But totally holds up. In those first couple episodes was really being like, all right. Hey, girlfriend, I love you a lot. Keep watching this, but just so you know. And then by the third episode, there was starting to be little bits and bobs more of like, okay, I'm starting to see a little bit more, especially like some of the anime. Oh, that's the other thing, is the animation. I don't like.
It gets better.
It's Nickelodeon, and it's a show that I'm sure was done cheaply the first time, and like they were doing the best what they had, and blah blah blah. But even in that third episode, starting to see like, okay, some of this is getting a little bit more interesting, and there's some stuff that I'm visually seeing on the screen that are intriguing me more. I'm starting to get a bit of a hint of Zuko a little bit more, although he's still fully in his like, yes, I'm just the antagonist, but starting to see some interactions between him and the older person who
I really
forget. Thank you. Right now I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't like Aang at all. I don't like Sokka at all. And I do like Katara.
Katara, yes.
Katara, which was an interesting counterpoint to my girlfriend, who is like, oh, yeah, no, I don't like – Katara's the one that I don't like.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Maybe that will change as the show goes on. But so far, she's the one that is definitely the closest to an intriguing character that I want to follow based on what I've seen so far. I do know and I can picture how Zuko as the, like, tortured bad guy who is unsure of whether he wants to, I can picture a very interesting arc for him as he complicates going forward. So nothing I've seen so far has me interested in Zuko, but I have enough faith that will change as time goes on.
This gets better. Everything you said is very valid, and I agree for the most part with your assessment of the first like four episodes of it.
Nice.
But stick with it and you'll fall in love. It'll be fantastic.
Okay.
It'll be great.
Okay. And worst case scenario, I'll get 361 episodes and get to Legend of Korra.
Yeah. Yeah. And Legend of Korra is, They're both great. Oh, so that's, by the way, I just finished up a rewatch of Avatar. And then now I'm starting up on Korra again. I'm on season two, I'm pretty sure, of the four seasons of Korra. But
nice.
Yeah. Which is good. It's funny because like I have the you only had four episodes right now, so we can't really like review them and talk about what I like and dislike too much. Like I feel like the third episode, that was when they went to the Eastern Air Temple, right?
Yes.
Or one of the air temples. Like that's when it starts to get slightly more real and like it
I would agree with that.
Yeah. He's like, oh, his entire culture has died and he's the last airbender and he's alone now. And that's the show gets into that sort of stuff. Like it gets into deeply powerful, sad things. Eventually, but yes, I'm excited.
Look, Dave Filoni directed it. Look at that.
Dave who?
Dave Filoni. He's a Mandalorian guy and I think Clone Wars guy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But he directed the first two episodes.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's what, so I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now. And Giancarlo Volpe is a guy who used to host a podcast a million years ago that I started listening to the podcast because a person that I liked from the Pride and Prejudice themed web series that I really liked.
Lizzie Bennet Diaries?
Exactly. Someone who was on that was friends with them and went on their podcast. And I started listening to the podcast. And at that point, there was like five people that listened to it. And I followed them on Twitter and then like genuinely talked and like he followed me on Twitter for a little while. He's one of the recurring directors I'm seeing for a lot of Avatar. So that's fun. I had forgotten about that.
That's cool. Wow.
I certainly have not interacted with him in at least like 5 years.
Okay. Well,
So I think the game plan is, I mean, as of right now, I'm definitely going to keep watching Avatar. Oh, that maybe that's the other thing that I told Alex before we did this, but, if it wasn't for the fact that people I trust and respect very, very deeply have told me to keep watching this show and have told me that I will like the follow-up show after it, 100% I would stop watching at this point if I was just of my own volition. Well, and also say the fact that like everybody fucking loves Avatar. Like, yes, to like one of my best friends and my girlfriend like it a lot, and so that holds extra special weight, but also like everyone loves Avatar, so I'm well aware that
it's
there's some gold in those hills.
It's like not just one of the best, like it's not just like a childhood favorite series of mine, it is also world renowned as one of the best TV shows to be made.
I am curious to see how much of it, like with anything of rewatch, same thing that happened when we watched Buffy, of like how much of it holds up decade plus, two decades, maybe even after the fact, decade and a half.
I mean,
And how much of it is the, it being incredibly influential for it in 2005 and 2006 and being very influential on the stuff that came later. And then now me watching it, especially watching a kids show as an adult, a decade and a half after it and after all the stuff that presumably is inspired by it. How much of it is a, I can see what you did there and I respect it versus a, this genuinely holds up and is great the first time through versus time has moved on and maybe left this behind. I'm sure it'll be a mix of all three of those.
Yeah. I'm interesting to hear your answer on that. Cause for me, rewatching it is like, yes, it always, I rewatch it frequently. So it is always holding up. So it is never something that I forget about, you know, so it can't not, it's not holding up. It's just me seeing it again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
I'm excited for your journey.
I'll keep watching. So yes, that was my long way of saying I would have stopped if I otherwise, but I'm committed to at least keep going for a little bit. And I think if I feel this way halfway through book one, I'm still feeling this way, that's maybe the point where a serious conversation goes on about like, please give me something that will keep me going.
Sure.
If however, in the next 10 episodes or so that starts to turn around and I get more interested in things, then I could see that being enough to pull me through the rest of it.
Yeah. It gets better. It gets a lot better.
Nice.
Humble origin.
But yeah, so we'll get, I don't know. Oh yeah, we don't have to. Oh yeah, how do we end this? Because we've already did the ending.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. How do you want to end it?
I don't know. Weird.
What if we just like, and then that's the ending right there.
Got it.